Well, good morning. Welcome to Worship on the Hill. We're excited that all of you are here. For those of you who are our guests and maybe first time here, I'm John Green, senior pastor at Harmony Hill. And I want to welcome all of you to Worship on the Hill. I want to ask you to take your Bibles this morning. Let me just say, welcome to Worship on the Hill.
I ask you to take your Bibles this morning and let's look in God's Old Testament.
Notice that the title of the message, I hope, is provocative enough to get your attention.
And we're going to be talking this morning.
And we're going to be looking, if you get out your Life Point outlines or in your Sunday bulletin, if you haven't already done that.
If you haven't already, I want you to turn to God's Word.
Look the truth in your outline. But here's the truth in your outline I want you to notice this morning. And here's the truth in your outline, the inside. And the truth in your outline, look at the truth in your outline. Will you this morning accept His free gift of grace? It's free. It's not cheap. But it's free.
Then you need to say, God, for the first time in my life, I turn my life over to Jesus Christ. Jesus died for me, and He's the only way I'm going to get to heaven, and I want Jesus to be my Savior. Ask Him to save you, and you make a conscious decision to turn from the way you've been living. That's the wrong way to live, and now you want to chase after the holy.
Thank you for these 40 years. Thank you for letting me raise my boys here. Thank you for a church that has loved us. Thank you, Father, for planting us in a place and giving us a voice in the city for Jesus. I'm grateful for your extreme grace to us and for what you've made us into today. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
I did not know that was going to happen. Y'all, give me just a sec. Wow. These guys, these guys on staff and the support team have continued to surprise Catherine and myself in just so many ways to minister to us. We cannot thank you guys enough for your support and your gratitude of letting us have these years here in this ministry. And so I just want to say again, thank you for the journey that we've had to today. And looking forward to what the Father has yet to come, right? So, you know, like I said, we're praying that unlike Moses, as he turned everything over to Joshua and then he laid down and went back to dust, that's not my call. And so God has a call for each of us. And so Catherine, I look forward to the next part of God's plan for us and seeing His Holy Spirit work in the midst of that. And so I want to thank you so much for how you guys have prayed for us and supported us and embraced the change. I have every sense in my spirit that you are embracing change. You're not rejecting it. You're not turning your back against it, but you embrace it as being the will of the Father. And God has told us, and I share this with you so many times historically, that as long as our answer to Him is yes, God, the answer is yes. Whatever it is that you want us to do, the answer is yes. And as long as that's our heart, we will continue to see the good hand of God. We have not yet seen everything the Father has planned and is willing to do if our answer is always yes. And so I have so much confidence in God's faithfulness, and that the men and the women that we have here today are here by divine call, that Pastor Todd is here by divine call, and that he is God's man. He is like David, that the Lord put his hand on him and said, "This is the one." And I am confident in that, and I am assured, and I trust that you will be as well. One of the things that I want to talk to you about today, in fact, the main thing, as we get ready to take the Lord's Supper, we're talking about seasons and the seasons of our life. And I want us to think this morning about this season, which may be a little bit different in your understanding if you haven't got your life point outlined, and that is, I want us to think about the season of drift. The season of drift. And I want us to look at Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation. And the Bible says, "So we must listen very carefully to the truth we have heard." Now, here's the reason why. "Or we may drift away from it. The message God delivered through angels has always proved true, and the people were punished for every violation of the law and every act of disobedience. What makes us think we can escape if we are indifferent to this great salvation, this call of God that was announced by the Lord Jesus himself? It was passed on to us by those who heard him speak, and God verified the message by signs, wonders, and various miracles, and by giving gifts of the Holy Spirit whenever he chose to do so." So here's what God is saying. God says there are going to be seasons in life. There are going to be periods in my life and yours when we are going to be tempted more than at any other time during the course of our days to drift away from the Lord. Drifting is always a possibility in my life and yours. We do not need to forget that. The drift from a close walk with the Lord Jesus Christ and being a life of obedience to him. And I want you to understand, drifting is not primarily about how I feel or how you feel. Drifting is about the action of our lives. It's about what's taking place in our life. How are we behaving? That's the evidence of the drift. Isaiah 53 and verse 6, you've heard it many times, says this: "All of us like sheep have drifted away. We have left God's paths to follow our own." I think one of the most indulged sins of the present and the ancient church has been and is drifting. And what does it mean? What does it mean for me, for you, to drift? It means we wander off the path that God has for me and that he has for you. Let me read a verse of scripture that captured my heart decades ago. It was Proverbs 27, verse 8. And this is what it says: "As a bird that wanders from the nest, so is a man who wanders from his place," who wanders from his path. Now, you know, I've shared this with you before. What he's talking about is when you're out in the woods or whatever, and you go under a tree or whatever, and you notice that there on the ground is this little baby bird that's fallen from the nest. And it's just got the little pin feathers, you know, and it looks ugly, and it's more skin than it is anything else. And one of the things that you know is that bird is food. It's not going to last, right? Their days are numbered. And so what is God saying to me? Why does God put that in Scripture, guys? It is because of this. Any man or woman, pastor, it doesn't matter, who wanders, if I wander from the Lord, If you wander from the Lord, God says, understand, as my child, there will be pain in the life because I love you. There will be a loss of fellowship with me. So you're going to make decisions that are going to be the wrong decision because you do not have the guidance of my Holy Spirit leading you and directing you. And you're going to go through a plethora of misguided decisions in your life because I'm not giving you wisdom for your daily living. Every generation of the church has wandered. Every generation. There is a time of wandering, and then there is the discipline, and then there is repenting, and then returning. But I don't know about you. I'd rather not go through all of that. I would rather just maintain my walk with the Lord. And what I'm grateful for this morning is, I believe, as we get ready to take the supper, this is what God is wanting to say to you and me. Now, there's a primary example of this in Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16. Ancient Israel had wandered from the Lord, and God sent Jeremiah to call the people to come back to him. And this is what he said, Jeremiah 6, 16. Thus says the Lord, stand by the roads and look and ask for the old paths, where the good way is, and walk in them and find rest for your souls. Ladies and gentlemen, there is a way to walk and there is a way to live in every one of our days. And God is saying, ask for my wisdom about how to live your life. And I want you to understand, today isn't going to be a day about pointing fingers at anybody. That's not what we're going to do. This is a day that I want to encourage you. I want you to just examine your heart, which is what we do before we take the supper. You examine your heart and you ask yourself, where do I need to return to an old path that I used to walk in? Where have I drifted? Where have I, all of a sudden, do I find myself that I didn't used to be? So if we look, number one, in your life point outline, why we drift. Why do we do that? Well, the truth in your outline, we drift because it's easy to do so. That's why we drift, because it's easy to. All of us naturally drift. If I am not intentional in my walk with the Lord, if I'm not intentional with that, if I don't do it on purpose, I will drift. I have to maintain intentionality. And we see this every day. I mean, this is in everyday life. Let me give you an example. All of us maybe, or I would think most all of us, maybe have been on an inner tube out in a lake or whatever. So you've got a body of still water and you're on an inner tube. You go to sleep, take a little nap on that inner tube. When you wake up, what do you find is that you're not where you were when you went to sleep. You drifted. And that drifting, you didn't have to do anything about it. You did nothing and it happened. And that's the lesson. I have to fight drift. For the last 50 years, one of my battles has been to not drift. To not, by the grace of God, get up behind this stand having drifted. That has been the challenge of my days. And the challenge of your days is to not drift. Why? Listen, because when you drift, that's when stuff's going to start happening in your family. When you drift, that's when you're going to start losing the direction and the guidance and the wisdom of the Father in your life. And you're going to start, like I've talked about, taking a stupid pill. And you're going to do it and you're not going to realize you're doing it. And so the truth in your outline, we often aren't aware we're drifting till one day we realize, and here it is, we are where we never thought we'd be. And we're doing what we never thought we'd do. And it's happened to countless believers. The shame of their life. Now today we're going to get ready to take the Lord's Supper. And I want you to remember, the Bible says that the night that our Lord instituted the supper, there was a disciple who was on the road to drifting. And I'm not talking about Judas. Judas wasn't even on the road. I'm talking about Simon Peter. All right? And so why did Peter drift? Let me give you three reasons why Peter drifted. This is in your life point outline. Peter drifted, I believe, number one, because of overconfidence. And so that's a warning to me and to you. Don't get cocky. Well, I'm doing fine. I love the Lord. Everything's fine with me. Don't get cocky. That's where it happens. I often talk about people taking a stupid pill, like I did a few minutes ago. Every day, God's people, you and I, we are tempted to do things without any thought. And we're just tempted to do that. It becomes a pattern of our lives. And what happens is, before we know it, we drift away from the Lord, and God calls to us. And He calls to you and me, and He does it in a lot of different ways. And what He's doing in these days when we have drifted, God is seeking to speak to us, and His message to us is, come back to me. Return to me. You're my son. You're my daughter. I love you. I want you to come back to me. Now, here, after the Lord's Supper, Jesus led the disciples, the Bible said, out to the Mount of Olives. And Jesus told the disciples this. This is what He said. He said, guys, He said, tonight, all of you will fall away from me. And Peter, God love him, Peter interrupts the Lord. And he says, Lord, I got this. These other guys may do that, but I will never deny you. What do you call that? That's overconfidence. And Satan is saying, oh, I got one. I got a live one here. Actually, Jesus said, you will deny me, Peter, three times that you even know me. And you're going to do it tonight, and it'll all happen before the rooster crows. And you may write that down somewhere. Overconfidence is often the first step in drifting away. That we don't remember, if I don't stay faithful, if I don't stay on my toes, I will drift. I will drift from Him. And here's the insight. There'll never be a time in our life as a child of God that we don't need God's providential hand guiding and guarding our life. Would you say amen to that? God, I want you to speak to me. Father, I want you to show me. I want you to speak to me by the Holy Spirit. I am asking you to keep me from drifting. Now, I want to encourage you to ask the Lord to do that in your life. God, keep me from drifting. And if I have drifted, help me get back to where I'm supposed to be. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12 gives this warning. Therefore, let anyone who thinks they stand take heed lest they fall into sin. God is saying the fastest path to drifting out of a close walk with the Lord into sin is to think you never will. To think it won't happen to you. I would never be unfaithful to my wife. I would never be unfaithful to my husband. I would never get back into doing that again. It would never happen to me. You know what the devil is saying? He's saying, I got one. Proverbs 16, 18. A proud attitude leads to ruin. Peter drifted, first of all, because of overconfidence. Secondly, because he was tired, weariness. If you have a close walk with the Lord, it is because you're staying at it. In other words, that means if you're close to the Lord, it's because you're by God's grace, you're in the Word every day. You are praying and you are seeking Him. Father, I don't want to stray away from You. Lord, I need You in my life to be what You want me to be. And you're praying that. And you are investing your wealth in kingdom enterprises. As we saw our missionaries up here, that is the physical reason why we keep giving to missions week in and week out, year in and year out. It is because of the people who are on the front lines out there, where places where the gospels are never heard. That's the reason. That's how you maintain a walk with the Lord. And in other ways, you're sharing your faith. You've gone public for Christ. Where you work or whatever, they know you belong to Him. Doing the right thing is hard. It's hard, and it takes effort. Which is easier? You take the time to prepare a balanced meal or just go to Whataburger or McDonald's? I don't know. Pick one. Just which would be easier? Well, it's going to be easier, of course, to take where the meal is already prepared. Here's the truth. It is always harder to do the right thing. We need spiritual energy to do the right thing in life. It takes something out of us. And if we're not careful, we will slack up on that. And if you want to live for the Lord for the long haul, you have to have, and here's what I want you to remember, you have to have a rhythm of rest and work. Rest and work. And here's the truth. Fatigue is a huge warning light in life. This is how Satan can get to all of us, is we get fatigued. We have to recharge our spiritual batteries to maintain a walk with the Lord. I think one of the most fascinating passages in God's Word is Mark chapter 6 and verse 31. Jesus told the disciples, the Bible says they'd been on this long stint of ministry to people. They've been dealing with people's problems, just ministry day and night, so that they were really they've really gone through some real difficult times. And here's what Jesus said, Mark 6, 31. This is in the Message. Jesus said, now listen to what he said, come off by yourselves. This is God speaking to the disciples. Come off by yourselves. Let's take a break and get a little rest. And here's why the Bible says, for there was constant coming and going. They didn't even have time to eat. And here's what God is saying. This is the truth you outline. Fatigue makes us vulnerable to temptation. We have to take in consideration the bodies that we have. And there has to be a time of resting. One of the godliest things some of you could do right now in your life is to take some time away. Just to back it up. It might mean taking a day at the lake. Maybe an extended time just to get away, get in quietness, and just get in the Word and you just read. Sometimes some of the best thing for me is I have to remember I cannot always go to the Word trying to get a message. Sometimes I need to just go to the Word just to be with my Father. Where I'm not thinking about having to prepare something, but I'm just going to just be in the Word. Does that make sense? And so I need that. Maybe you need to take a bike ride. I don't know what you do to rest or relax or whatever, but there are times you just need to do that. So there's overconfidence and there's weariness. And number three, we fail because of a need for immediate gratification. And I see this in Mark 14:54. They've arrested the Lord. They've taken him to the house of the high priest where Jesus is being mocked. And the Bible says that Peter went to see what was going to happen. And what I want you to notice, Peter had some needs that caused him to do what he ordinarily shouldn't have done. Peter, number one, was cold. Now, for this time in his life, what Peter needed to do was he just needed to stand, he needed to be strong, and he just needed to embrace the fact it's cold, this is a cold night, but my Lord has been arrested. And I need to keep myself focused because I need to respond in the way that God would want me to respond. But the thing was, he was cold. And so Peter wanted to watch. He didn't want to engage. And he stayed in the shadows and he found himself sitting with the soldiers who had arrested the Lord. There he was sitting at the fire with the guys that had arrested the Lord. Why? Because he was cold. And it was about meeting an immediate need in his life, immediate gratification. And then he denied a relationship with Christ. He was recognized by that young girl. And she said, haven't you been with the Lord? And of course, he denied that, not once, but three times. So Peter goes from telling Jesus, I will never forsake you, I'll never leave you, to where he denies he has any connection with Jesus, not once, but three times. I don't even know the man. I don't know who you're talking about. Let me bring this down to where we are. Over the last 50 years of ministry here, I've watched people start who are strong with the Lord. And this is probably my greatest concern. This will be where I will never stop praying. As long as God has me here, I will not stop praying for y'all. My prayer through the years has been for a church that stays faithful, for a church that holds the banner high for Christ. And I have watched over the last 50 years, I've watched people start off strong. I've watched people start off witnessing and being in the Word, maybe even teaching or whatever, and today they are not here. I watch them slowly drift. And what happens is they begin to drift from relationships with friends who are chasing after the Lord. They begin to get away from people who are walking with the Lord. And then they get away from full engagement in ministry and serving, and they wind up going AWOL. Do you see that? Start getting away from those close friendships. And then they begin to convince themselves that they need a little break time. And so they drop out of ministry, they drop out of serving, and then before you know it, they're totally out. And that's what happens. That's the way it takes place. And these are not people who were Christians for a year or two. I'm talking about people who came to know the Lord Jesus Christ and had real faith in Him. And then 15 or 20 years down the road, they take a stupid pill and they drift. And you can't find them today. You can't find them. Their names are on our church roll, but they are adrift. We cannot count on them. They will not help us to do anything. And we've got more opportunity to reach our city for Christ than we've ever had. Where are they? They drifted. And if there's one thing on my heart, that's what I don't want to happen to you. But that 20 years from today, if you're still breathing, you're here. You are in your place. You are serving. And you're waiting for the trumpet to sound because you want to say, you want to hear Jesus say one thing to you. Well done. Well done. I stayed at the task. The pattern out of a walk with Christ is almost always the same. Let me give it to you. Number one, first of all, people quit giving. You know, when you feel deprived, you start holding on more for yourself. And you stop giving. You stop giving of your time. You stop giving of your talent. You stop giving of your treasure to the kingdom work. And the truth in your outline, giving, Jesus said, is the number one indicator of our heart. So you ask yourself, how warm is my heart toward giving to the Lord? And then number two, the second thing is they stop praying. They stop talking to God because you say they don't have time, but actually you don't want to address the drift in your life. That's why they quit praying. They don't want to just hear what God is going to say. They're just saying, I don't have time, but that's not really it. They just don't want to draw close. And then thirdly, they stop attending. And we've had precious people who stop being around other believers for the sake of Christ. They withdraw from Bible study. They withdraw from life group. And that's first. And then they withdraw from worship. And they're no longer here. Attending becomes more and more uncomfortable. You remember that song? There was a song in 1757 that was aimed directly to a generation that had wandered far from God. I know you're going to recognize it when I say it. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. That's the great danger, that we will drift. And so let me close with number two, the way back. And the way back is remembering Him. This is what God wants us to do. Isaiah 30:18. The Lord longs to be gracious to you. Our Father in heaven doesn't long to zap us. Isn't that good news? You know, God doesn't delight in discipline. He doesn't delight in that. He longs to be loving and forgiving. Look at the insight in your outline. Perhaps the greatest picture of God's grace is communion that we're going to take in just a moment. And the truth in your outline, communion is for God's family. It is not for the world at large. It's just for His family. And maybe today there's some men or women here. And God has been drawing you. And you've gotten so close to wanting to receive the Lord and invite Him to come into your heart. And what I want to encourage you to do this morning is I want to encourage you to do that. I want to invite you to make that decision right now this morning. This is the morning for you. This is a morning for you to say yes to Him. You know Jesus Christ didn't just die for the world. You know He died for you. And you want to ask Him to save you. God, I want to forgive my sins. I want to be right with you. Let's bow our heads for just a moment. Heads bowed and eyes closed. And right now in your own heart, you could just let God know, in your own words, let God know that you realize where you are. You know that you're a sinner. You know that you're far away from Him. And you know Jesus didn't just die for the world, He died for you. And you want to ask Him to come into your life. And right now, I want to encourage you to do that. Just cry out to Him. Let Him know you want to be saved. Let Him know you want to come into His forever family. Cry out to Him. He is a Father who takes delight in you. He wants you to come home to Him. He wants you to be part of His forever family. God doesn't hold grudges. So invite Him to come in. Invite Him to come in. Wherever you are listening online, right now you can invite the Lord to save you. Give you a home in heaven. Let Him know you trust Christ and Christ alone to be your Savior. You believe your only hope of heaven is through Christ. I want to invite you to do that right now. Father, as different ones are praying, thank you for just letting them know, God, in your own way, that you've heard them. Receive them. May that sense of forgiveness be settled in their heart, that they know they have done what they needed to do today. And we'll thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. If you made that commitment of your life to the Lord Jesus, you can, for the first time in your life, really take the Lord's Supper and do it biblically. And I hope that's what you've done. Now, let me give you a little bit of something before we take the supper. These are still in your notes. Down here at the front is bread and juice. And the bread represents the body of Christ. The juice represents His blood. And I want you to remember three things right quickly. This is what I want you to think about as you come to take these elements. Number one, I want you to remember God's love can't be earned. God's love cannot be earned, and that is so important. It is unconditional. The Bible says He saved us not because of the good things we've done, but because of His mercy. And the thing that is such a blessing to me about that is, what that means is, God's love for me is not based on my performance. Because I blow it in the performance department. And the thing is, my Father loves me not because of my performance. He loves me because He loves me. And that is what keeps me going day in and day out. The Bible says God has a love for us not because of how we have done, but because before we had done good or evil, God chose us to be His own. God knew us in eternity past. And He set His heart on us. That's why we take communion. The God eternities ago designed it for you and I to be able to do this. And He says, I want you to know when you come and you take this juice and you take this bread, I want you to know that was my plan for you from eternity past. This was my plan. And this is what I did before you had done anything. You can't earn my love for you. I love you. Because you're my creation. And then He says, number two, He said, I want you to know your sin is paid for. I've loved you from eternity past, and your sin is paid for. Christ, when He was nailed to the cross, I poured out all of my wrath for your sin on Him. 1 John 2:2, when Jesus served as a sacrifice for our sins, He solved the sin problem for God. And so when you drink this cup and you eat this bread, you are remembering the brutal suffering of Christ for you. And your sin, past, present, and future, is paid for, and you are delivered from God's judgment. That's what these elements mean. And you are celebrating that. And number three, communion means God forgives and God forgets. I am so grateful my Father doesn't hold grudges. Aren't you? God doesn't hold grudges. That is absolutely amazing. The Bible says His mercies are new every morning. Every morning, I get a fresh start with the Father. He doesn't hold grudges. You know, it's very difficult. You ever tried having a friendship with somebody who's a grudge holder? That is not a pleasant journey. Why? Because we all mess up. Would you agree with that? Listen, if I'm going to be friends with you, if you're going to be friends with me, you're going to have to learn how to chill, because I'm probably going to upset you at some point. Just ask Catherine. And so if you hold grudges, that is a very difficult person to have friendship with. Our best friends are those who hang with us even when we mess up. You know who the real friends are? They're the ones you've had 15 or 20 years. Huh? All of us have had some we thought were friends, and they're not, because they're no longer there. Why are some of those friends not there? Because we messed up. We messed up. And then they left. Wasn't a real friend, was it? Nope. I mean, you can't be friends with somebody like me unless you're able to be a forgiver and a forgetter. And that's what it is with all of us. Our best friends are with us because they hang with us even when we mess up. And the Bible says God is a friend of sinners. Listen to what he said. This is Psalm 103 is a God is a friend of sinners psalm. And it says in Psalm 103, listen, God will not constantly accuse us nor remain angry forever. But wait, it gets better. He has not punished us for all our sins. Aren't you glad? Amen. Are you glad every time you sin, God, you go, whap? Aren't you glad? Hello. He does not punish us for all our sins, nor does He deal with us as we deserve. He is like a father to His children, tender, compassionate to those who fear Him. You know this, the Lord God, our Savior, will discipline me and you when we wander. He will do that. He will correct the error in our life. He will put blocks in the way of our life to redirect our life back to Him. But Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who belong to Christ Jesus. No condemnation. Tomorrow morning, God is gracious. And He says, let's get up and go again. He is not a grudge holder. Can I get an amen in the house? Lord, thank you. And when you're coming to take the supper, that's one of the things you celebrate. God, thank you. When we sin, we do not lose fellowship with God. God loves us and He stays with us. We will lose rewards in heaven that we could be earning, but we never lose our salvation. Let me just say this one thing before we take the supper. There are families that we all have been around who had a child that rebelled and turned their back on the family and the home. And maybe they disowned the family and they've lived life on their own terms. And while there's a lot of pain in that, you ask that mom and that dad and they'll tell you, that boy has broken my heart, but he's still my son. That girl has ripped a hole in my soul, but she's my daughter. And I will not stop praying until I breathe my last breath. Huh? That, ladies and gentlemen, is our Father. He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you.